You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Okay, so we are on, week 6 of this series. And we're going to get started, and as you already have heard, Ignition kids are in here. Last week we brought them up front and shot them with darts, because that's the way we roll, and you're excited about that, the kids are, so that's good. I think all of you are still here after we did that. This week we're not going to do anything that violent, but I'm going to need lots of kid and probably some student help for some things that we're going to be doing this morning. But before we do that, I have a question. Can we hit the house lights? Because I have a question for all of you in the room. How many of you carry... No, let me finish this in. How many of you carry regularly a pocket knife, a Leatherman, a multi-tool of some sort? All right. So keep your hands up if you do that. Okay. So I just want to ask some very basic questions. Why do you carry it?
Because I can.
And that's it. Oh, sorry. That's...
Getting away from the street. That's the only reason? Okay, so is there a more practical reason?
It's a tool.
Okay, thank you. That'll work. Okay, all right. Now I lost me. Now I'm back. Okay. There we go. Why do you?
In case I need it.
In case you need it. Okay, good. All right. What about you?
Protection to cut things.
Which may or may not be related. Okay, all right.
Well, mine's a Father's Day one, specifically, but I always carry a knife, a lighter, and a pen on me at all times, just because you never know.
Okay, good. All right, who else? Anybody else? That's it? Just three of you? All right. What? Do you carry a... Okay, yeah.
Because you never know when you're going to need one.
Okay, excellent. Okay, Kyle.
What? How many?
No, I...
So I got this one.
This is not an infomercial, okay?
What's the question?
Why do you carry
coffee?
Stop it. Why do you carry a multi-tool?
A multi-tool?
A knife, any of that?
Well, for cutting, chopping, or stabbing.
Okay. Yeah. All right, just sit down. All right, I got one more. I'm going in front of the speaker. Carefully. Okay. Bill, why do you carry one?
Kyle stole my answer.
Oh.
Chopping, stabbing.
Is it cutting, chopping, and stabbing, Kyle?
No.
Sometimes?
Anybody.
All right. Anybody else? All right, Carl.
As a tool for protection.
Okay, I'm going to turn this off, and I'm going to walk in front of the speaker again. Okay, so, carrying a multi-tool, I usually carry one, too. It's in my don't die bag. That sounds really weird. I have a little bag that carries my heart medicine in case I have a heart attack that I have to take, and so I keep it in there. So that's why I call it my don't die bag. The idea of a multi-tool, of a pocket knife, a Swiss Army knife, when I was in middle school, I remember getting a brand name Swiss Army knife, which I think was Wenger, was the Swiss company, or Victorinox, whoever the Swiss Army, like the actual people, not the one that looks sort of like the Swiss Army symbol, but then you look closer and you're like, wait, is that the bat symbol? No, this is like a for real Swiss Army knife, and this is me, middle school, and I wish I could say that since then I've gotten smarter, but I remember Christmas, I was like, oh, cool, it's the brand name, Victorinox Swiss Army knife, and so I opened it, because I had like an off-brand one that I got before. And so just like the other one, I opened it and was like, I wonder how sharp it is. And went like that. For real. And bled like crazy. Because it was sharp. Brand names are sharp. And honestly, if it wasn't Christmas Day, I'm pretty sure we would have gone to the ER. But come on, who wants to be in the ER on Christmas Day? So do not try that at home. Do not check the sharpness of the blade. I did not grow up in central Pennsylvania. I grew up in Delaware. So we didn't have things like the outdoors. And so, like, carrying a knife wasn't for, like, chopping wood or stabbing. It was just because, you know, you did. But anyway, so yeah, the idea of any kind of any multi-tool like that is that it gives you what you need. And the thing about them, and I think this is safe to say, is that they're typically compact. Would you say that? I've got a toolbox. I've got multiple toolboxes and tool bags full of tools, but they're certainly not easy to carry around with me all the time. So they're compact, so they would fit in your pocket. They're useful. And many of you said that. That was kind of the reason that they have mostly of whatever you might need for any situation. You've got all the pieces, all the tools you need. Maybe it's a knife, maybe it's a screwdriver, maybe it's a corkscrew, maybe it's a fish fillet, or I don't know why that was always part of it. And maybe you do because I'm not from Central Pennsylvania. But not a fish fillet, a scaler. A scaler, do you have one of those? Is that what it's called? Yes, somebody. John Unks is not here. Okay, Unks. I'll pretend you did not do that, Will. I will say you know exactly every fishing tool there is. Your dad is not here. We will not let him know. But then the third thing, so they're compact, they're useful, and then, as many of you said too, they're ready. It's always ready. You've got it right there. You don't need to go, oh, I need to go back and get that. I've got it with you. And so it's compact, useful, and ready. It's everything you need for any situation, give or take. You know, it's not everything, but that's the reason why you carry one. And so this morning, we're going to talk about another psalm, and this is a psalm of versatility. Now, before we go anywhere further, I need to ask a favor. You're in church. Don't open your Bibles and don't open the YouVersion app right now, okay? Because there's no cheating, because we're about to do something, and I don't want anybody to cheat. All right, so we're going to look at a psalm of versatility that is designed for any situation. It's ready. And the psalm of versatility just prays. And so this idea of this psalm, there we go, is that it's like the Swiss Army knife. It's like the multi-tool of the book of Psalms, of all the collection of Psalms. There's 150 Psalms. The one we're looking at today, I'm not even going to tell you the number, just so you don't cheat. The one that we're looking at today is the shortest psalm in the Bible. And so what I need is I need 9 ignition kindergarten through 5th grade aged volunteers to come up here and help me. You will not be shot. You're just helping, and you're going to do the bidding of the audience. So, sorry, I got one, come on up, yeah, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay, 6, 7, one more, 2 more, sorry, I can count, 7, two more, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I need 2 more, all right, Faith, good. Come on. All right, there's 9. Okay, thank you all for volunteering or being volunteered. So here's what I need you to do. All right, I'm going to give you a piece of paper, and you're just going to hold it up like that so people can see it. Okay, these are randomly designed, set up there. There you go. Hold that one like that. Hold that one like that so everybody can see it. Okay, good, excellent. All right, hold that one. All right, there you go. Hold that one and that. Is that 9? Wait, does anybody have 2? Okay, we'll see. We'll find out. So hold it like that so everybody can see it. There you go. Okay, so back up just a hair. What I need you guys to do is this is scrambled right now, and without knowing what the psalm is, how it goes, perhaps based on context, school's starting soon, and we'll use context clues, perhaps based on punctuation, we need you guys to help figure out where it should go. So here's what we're going to do at first, just because it's fun. We're going to be chaotic, okay? So they're going to start yelling where you should go. Maybe you listen to your mom or dad. Maybe you intentionally don't listen to your mom or dad. So whatever you think. But what's going to need to happen is you're going to be moving around so that when we're done, this psalm is in order. So does that make sense? So you might need to move there and you would need to move here. Okay, you with me? Does that make sense to you guys? Yes. So yes, yes. Yes, hold it up so everybody can read it, because they have to do this. Okay, so tell them where to go. Go. Leave the building. All right, nobody is moving. Oh, there's 2 praise the Lord. All you nations, get out here, okay? Okay, hold that. We need another praise the Lord down there. All right. All right. I don't know. I can't see this. Okay, so you just get over there. Okay, what have we got here? Okay, you're coming over there. All right, good. All right. All right, hold them up so everybody can see it. So everybody can see it. All right. Okay. What do you think? Endurance Forever needs to go. Okay, so what are we talking here? We good with this? That doesn't make sense. So we've got, just in case you can't see it online, praise the Lord, all you people of the earth. Praise Him, all you nations. You go there? Yeah, okay. Praise Him, all you nations. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. For His unfailing love for us is powerful. Praise the Lord. It's good, it's not right. All right, so what else do you think needs to switch? Okay, the Lord's faithfulness and endures forever. Switch. Okay, so wait. They're switching like eight things. Okay. All right. Where is she going? You're going to switch with endures forever. Okay, come back here. You're coming right there. All right. Are we good with that? No, we're not good with that either. Okay, it's not right either. All right, what else? You're on the right track, by the way. It's in here. All right, for His unfailing love switches with the Lord's faithfulness. You two switch. So Paisley, you go over there, and you come over right there. How's that look? I'm asking what you think. All right. It looks like this is the shortest psalm in the Bible. All right, we're getting a picture for Instagram or something. Okay, good. All right, thanks. Okay, so wait, stay there. Okay, so let's just read it. Praise the Lord, all you people of the earth. Praise Him, all you nations, for His unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. Would you all please join me in saying that together? Praise the Lord. All right, stay there. Let's check our work. I think the next slide has the psalm, right? Praise Him. Oh, we were wrong! Dang, who's in charge around here? Okay, all right. You two need to switch. Oh, you were already there the whole time, right? You were just leaning to that direction. You need to go right there. There we go. How does that work? Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people of earth. For His unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. Okay, does that look good? Okay, good. Good. So, yes, very, very well. All right. So, one more time, I just want to, while you guys are up here, let's just say that whole thing. Let me get behind you so everybody can read. Let's just say, this is a whole psalm. Actually, the psalm has two verses, but this is all of it. And this is Psalm 117. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, and that's going to probably be its own series at some point. It will not be covered in 1 week. But let's do this one more time. So together, praise the Lord. Excellent. All right, so now I'm going to do something that's dangerous, kind of. No, not to you. For me. Dangerous for me. Because I'm short. All right. Because I want this to be up here. Where am I supposed to? Okay. Can we start at the end here? And give me yours. I'm going to clip them up here. All right. So we'll start with praise the Lord. Yep. And then once you give it to me, then you guys can sit down. Thank you for your help. Me up here. It's totally OSHA approved. Wow. Guess what I didn't try ahead of time? Like that. Oh, yeah. That's smart. All right. Thank you. All right. I got to come down here a little bit more. All right, thank you. Can you see them from out there? Okay, read this. All right. Faith, can you stand here and hold me, hand the things to me. Okay, next. Thank you. All right. A bit further here. Thank you. Are we still in order? Yeah. More. Thank you. All right. And I'm going to need you guys a little bit later for something else. And again, some of our students as well. Last one. Thank you very much. And you can just put those down. Very good. Okay. So there is the shortest psalm in the Bible. And here's one of the things about this psalm that makes it unique, aside from its size, or maybe that is what makes it unique, is that it's usable at all times. Because everything that we've got here applies to every situation that you might find with which you might find yourself. It's like a Swiss Army knife because it's small and you can take it with you wherever you go. And so if I were to say what would be amazing for you guys to do when you're done today, that would be that you memorize that psalm and you've got it with you for every situation. That it's compact, you keep it with you at all times. It's useful for everything because these principles, and we'll talk about them in a second, apply to every situation, and it's ready wherever you go. Because it is compact, useful, and ready. There we go. So I want to take just a few minutes and break this psalm down a little bit. It is so small, we're not going to take too much time on it because of that. But I want to look at what are the parts of this psalm. The first thing that we see here is that this psalm tells us what we do. It tells us what we do. And let's see. Verse 1 is this part here, and this is verse 2. And what we are supposed to do here, there's some very specific instructions in verse 1. It says, praise, next slide there, praise the Lord, all you nations, praise Him, all you people of the earth. And there's some interesting things about this this phrase. First of all, this is all written in Hebrew. That's what they wrote back when they wrote basically the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is written in Hebrew. That was the language they spoke, the Israelites spoke. And we don't know specifically who wrote this psalm. A lot of the psalms we do know. Many of them were from David. Last week we talked about a psalm that they think might have been a temple priest, one of the worship leaders at the temple. But we don't know who wrote this one. But this phrase, praise the Lord, the Hebrew word for praise is a word, you ready for this? Halal. Okay? Now I need you to say that. On three. I'll say it first again. Halal. Okay? Now on three, you're going to say it. One, two, three. Halal. Okay, good. Now wipe off the neck of the person in front of you because you just spit on them. And so that word means to praise. Halal. And so it says halal. And then there's a phrase here that is capital L-O-R-D. And we did a series, we talked about it last week as well, called The Name, where we looked at the different names of God. And when you see the word Lord in all caps in the Old Testament, it actually is referring to what is called God's divine name. It's the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. And Moses says, who should I say is sending me? And God says, well, tell them my name. And my name is I Am That I Am. And I know some people that could rap to that, but we're not going to do that right now because we did that a couple of years ago. We do have a YouTube channel that is our band cover songs, and that I Am That I Am rap is on there. You can find that. I think it's at MC3 Church Band. That's the name of the channel on YouTube. Anyway, but the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is this name Yahweh. That's God's divine name. That was the Hebrew word, was Yahweh. And as we shared back during that series, and you can listen to the whole thing about it, but basically it's kind of like God's first name. And so this was a very personal kind of name. To call someone today, you know, you call someone Mr. or Mrs. if you don't know them, especially, you know, you're going back to the school, you probably call your teachers Mr. or Mrs. or doctor, depending on what their title is. But I remember when I was in college, my senior year, you know, I was at Lancaster Bible College, graduated, and then I went to work on campus. I went to work for the school the following year. And I was an assistant RA. I was like the assistant dean for the men on campus. And what was really weird is that, like, one day I'm a student And so that's Dr. Roper, and that's Dean Lau, and who else? Dean Hubbard. And then, like, that's where I was. I graduated, I walked the stage. I almost said walked the plank. I walked the stage, got my degree, and then it was working for them. And so I was in this office, and now Dean Lau was Brad. Like, Brad. Like, it just seems, he seemed so important before, now he's Brad. Dr. Roper was Bob. And so you went from this kind of like official name to this first name basis. And it was really weird at first. And they still called me Sean, which is weird. They didn't switch it to like Mr. Fitch, which probably makes sense. But anyway, and so this idea of a first name basis, and you know what I'm talking about. When you're on a first name basis with someone, it kind of changes things. And so this name, Yahweh, that God gave to Moses, that's my name. That's like my first name. And so you've got the word Yahweh, and you've got the word halal, and if you put them together, you've got hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the word we use, hallelujah or alleluia, depending on whether you keep the H or remove the H, whether there's a J or whether there's no J, it's all about the Latin that got thrown into the mix of all that. But praise the Lord in Hebrew is hallelujah. And so that's where this phrase is. So our command in this psalm is to praise the Lord. It doesn't say if you want to. It doesn't say when things are right. It's just praise the Lord. Do it. And the interesting thing here, which is really crazy, is that the psalms were mostly written, as we said last week, they were written to the Israelites, to God's chosen people, to the Jewish people. And what would normally be expected in a song book written to a group of people would be, you know, praise the Lord, all you Jews. You know, that makes sense. But it doesn't. It says, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people of the earth. And there is a statement here that says, you know, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter, frankly, whether you believe in God or not. Because everyone is supposed to hallelujah. Everyone is supposed to praise God, to praise Him. And the praise means, it means to boast. The word halal means to boast, to say great things about someone, to tell them. So, like, we often, especially if you grew up in church world, if you've been around church, you know, the word praise kind of means, like, praise. I guess it means I raise my hand and say that my dog isn't sick anymore. I've got to praise. And we kind of tied it into those kind of things. And if you grew up in church, that makes sense, hopefully. Because, like, yeah, I've got to praise. My dog was sick, and now he's not. But, like, praise really means to boast about someone. To say how amazing they are. And perhaps you've had that kind of experience. You know, you've been around someone and you're like, wow, I can't believe you did such a great job with that. You are essentially praising their name. And maybe you had someone in your life that did that for you. Hey, Johnny, I just want you to know that, man, you did such a great job hitting the ball this week. Like, that is praising. That is saying, wow, you're incredible. And so we are to boast about God. Everyone is to boast about Him. All the nations, all the people. And so we're not in here, or if you're watching online or listening online, I'm not talking to the people that aren't here. We can let them worry about themselves. But what this does mean for us is that everyone, regardless of what you think, believe, or understand about God, it is our responsibility to praise Him. Whether you like it or not, that's what we're told to do. And so there's no room here to go like, oh yeah, those people should. Oh, those guys over there should. No, everyone, because this is for all the people. So what we are to do with this small psalm is we are supposed to praise God. We are supposed to boast about God. We are to tell others about how great God is. We are to tell God how great He is. We are to hallelujah. We are to alleluia, to praise God. And so then the second thing is that's what we do. The second half is why we do it. And this is where it gets it's beautiful. Why are we supposed to do this? Like, we are commanded, essentially, and this is for the Israelites, but again, it applies to us because we are all the people. We are all the nations. We are part of those groups. And so why does the psalm writer here say that we should praise God? And the reason is because of the four. When you see four, F-O-R, next slide. When you see four, there's an explanation. So he says, praise God. Everybody, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Him. All the nations. All of us should be praising God. Well, why? Well, let me tell you why. It's because of His unfailing love. And Kyle nailed that on the hit that nail on the head during his prayer. Like, God's love for us is unfailing. And what does that mean? It means that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we do. We can't undo God's love. We can't stop God's love for us. We can't do something as like, oh, sorry, did you read the fine print? That doesn't apply. You know, we think about and actually this word, where is it? Yeah, the word. Oh, it's the next thing. Okay, hold on. We'll come back to that thought. But you know, it's unfailing, meaning it won't end. It won't stop. There's no there's no warranty coverage. And I don't know how, you know, what it's like for you guys, but I've gotten in my old age. Like, I need to know, does it have a warranty? Because I'm probably going to use it. Because you're probably not selling me the best product that you advertise. And I don't know how many times you've talked to people oh, yeah, I got this car, and oh, it's got a 5-year warranty. And, like, at year one, you've got a problem, and you take it in, and they're like, oh, well, if you read the fine print, the warranty only applies to, you know, frame and the left front wheel. And so clearly that doesn't apply in your situation, and so you can't use it. And sometimes we think of God that way, like, yeah, there's going to be a point where, you know what, I've hit the limit. Or the fine print doesn't apply to me. And this word says, no, His unfailing love. And there's a Hebrew word for this called chesed. Chesed. And it's a beautiful word because it's found throughout the Old Testament. And the word means unfailing love. Or another way it's translated in some older translations is one long word, and it's called loving kindness. And that's all one word. But this is the same word when you get to the New Testament, when you start reading about Jesus and the church and what Jesus did on the cross for us and how we don't deserve it. The New Testament word that is the same word in the Old Testament is charis, or it's often translated grace. And so in Hebrew, this is saying for His undeserved grace. His undeserved grace means there's nothing about us that earns it. There's nothing about us that wins it. There's nothing that we can do to lose it. There's nothing we can do to gain it. There is nothing you can do, I've said this so many times, to make God love you more. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. That is chesed. That is grace. That is this idea that no matter what, we can praise God because His unfailing love for us is powerful. And the word, and I know I'm hitting you with a lot of Hebrew, and you're all like, oh, thanks, I really wanted to learn that, especially me, because I'm in second grade. Anyway, but the word, the Hebrew word here for powerful, it's actually it's an adjective. It doesn't mean powerful, it means more. Like, more. It doesn't, the way it's written, it's just, because His love for us is more. And in English, we're like, more what? I'm like, no, that's where it ends in Hebrew. It's more. Well, what about that? Yep, more. Well, how about, yep, more than that? Well, there was that time when, yeah, more than that. Like, it's this word that means that God's unfailing love, His grace, His undeserved love for us is powerful. It's more than anything that we can imagine. And then, this is actually what is called, and now you're really interested to know this, last week we talked about synonymous parallelism that you see in the Psalms, where they'll take a concept and then they'll repeat it in slightly different words, but it means the same thing. This is actually called synthetic parallelism, where it's the same concept, but the second time they repeat it, they change it a little bit. They synthesize it. And so the first part is God's unfailing love for us is powerful, but then he changes it a little bit. It says His faithfulness, which is a similar concept, His faithfulness endures forever. And the word faithfulness here means firm. It means stable. It means solid. It means it's unchanging. It's something that we can always count on. It is never going to break. It is never going to give you up. It is never going to let you down. It is never going to run around and hurt you. It's firm. It's solid. And I remember, actually, for some of you guys that were here at the very beginning of MC3, about 12 years, coming up on 12 years in October, we were looking at doing something here on in this particular room, or maybe it was the lobby there. And we were like, oh, well, we could just break through the concrete and make that happen. And we found out that there are 24 inches of concrete on this floor because it had to handle a certain amount of weight. And so because there's 24 inches of concrete, this floor is not going to move much. you're not going to be able to jump and get it to bounce. And so this idea of firmness is that's where God is. Like, He is so, His faithfulness to us is so solid. It's not going to move. It's always going to be there for us. And so the writer says we need to praise God. Everyone needs to praise God. Why? Because He loves you so much and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And He is so faithful that there is nothing that's going to change that. That He is always going to be there for you. He's always going to do what's best for you. He is always going to love you. He is always going to keep His promises if they are promises to you. Can't claim something else. Be like, oh, God's going to keep His promise. He promised. No, actually, I don't think that was directed to you. But that's who God is. And so this psalm just has those two parts. And then it ends with, of course, praise the Lord, which is hallelujah. So the psalm with these two short verses says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you peoples of the earth, for His unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. This gives us what we need to do, which is praise God. And why we do it. Because His love for us is unfailing. So, this is a short, small, compact, useful, and ready psalm. And we're going to talk about when and where we do it in just a moment. Because we are supposed to praise Him because of who He is. But I want to just get this stuck in your head again. So let's read this again together. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him. Excellent. And if in the back row you couldn't read that, talk to Justin, and he will help you out with a pair of glasses or contacts. But like, this is it's ready. It's so simple. It's so easy. And it's useful in every situation because there is no situation that you can get into, that you can find yourself in life where God is not worthy of being praised. God is not worthy of us saying, you are incredible. There is no situation. It's always ready. And there is no point where in your situation God's love stops. Where God's love fails. Where God's love falls short. Where His chesed, His grace isn't there for you. And there's no point where God stops being faithful. That He stops being firm. That He stops being someone that we can count on. His faithfulness endures forever. And so this is a psalm of versatility. It's the Swiss Army Psalm because it's small, compact, and it's useful for every... Compact and small is the same thing. It's useful for every situation. So, every situation means every situation. So what I need right now, I think I've got 12 stools, 13. So I just need a bunch of kids to come up on stage. Just come on up. Just come on up here. Just come on. Yep, thank you, Brock. All right. These are the same ones that were here before. All right, I need more. If you're okay now, if you're bending into that 7th through 12th grade eight range, come on up. Come on. Yeah, thank you. Come on. Come on. Thank you. Yes. I need help here. Anybody? You need to always... Okay, I think... All right, we got... Oh. Okay. All right. So I need you guys just to like talk amongst yourselves. Here's a topic. The peanut is neither a pea nor a nut. Discuss. Okay, come here. All right. So here's the deal. All right, many of you have two things. You with me here? Woo! There we go. All right. Each of you guys have one or two things, and I'm going to mention something, and then you're going to need to stand up and hold up that object as we talk about it. And again, please don't poke that through anybody. Don't take out anybody's eyes, but she is wearing a hard hat, so you should be good on that side. Okay, good. All right. Excellent. So, here. Okay. So this is a psalm that, that's a lot of work. Chris, I'm good, by the way. I don't need any more stools. Okay, thank you. This is a psalm that applies in every situation. It is a Swiss Army psalm. And so I have got here a whole bunch of completely random everyday life situations. And I am not covering every situation that you'll ever find in life. And you might have other things that are related or similar, but I just want to talk about how this psalm really does fit in every situation. You okay? Okay. All right, so the first thing, where's the hard hat? Stand up if you got the hard hat. All right, stand up. It's not supposed to fit you. That's all right. It's all right. So a hard hat. Because when you see a hard hat, you think of the 80s group that is called, not, what's this doing here? Not the Village People. Men at Work. Yep. Men at Work. And so a hard hat represents work. And so you can praise God. Oh, come on, where are we? Just praise when you're at work. And so in any... Hey, that was great. You know, we had a good 2-3 minutes up here. When you're at work, and this is for everybody, when you're at work, you can praise God. Because God is always faithful to you in your job, and His love for you is never going to end. And you might not like your job, or you might be in a rough situation in your job, but you can say praise the Lord, because God is loving you and faithful to you in your job. How about, who's got the notebook? Where's the notebook? Oh, wow, these are in order. I hope that wasn't intentional. Okay, so how many of you are going to be starting school here in a few weeks? Yeah. So when you're, all of you, are you guys starting school? Okay, good, I forgot, you're like behind me. When you're at school, you can praise God. Because God is faithful, His love doesn't change, and even if you have a really bad test that didn't go well, or if you've got a classmate that's really not nice to you, God's faithfulness doesn't change. He's always loving. All right, who's got the TV remote? All right, stand up. Yeah, you got to stand up. All right, so when you're at home, because, you know, maybe you're at home. When you're at work, when you're at school, when you're at home, God, we can praise God. We can praise the Lord because His love for us doesn't change. And no matter what your home situation may be, and it might not be wonderful, that doesn't change God's love for you. God's love for you. And His grace is... It doesn't stop. And his faithfulness doesn't end. He is completely faithful to you, even though it might feel like things aren't the way you want them. But you can still praise God. All right, thank you. You can sit down. How about, who's on the chair? You're on the chair. All right. Everybody's, why is he on the chair that you're all sitting in? Good, Senator. Yeah. Why? Because you can praise God when you're at church. And you might be like, well, of course we do. But do you? Or do you just sing songs? Because there's a difference. Singing songs is fun, because we can sing all sorts of songs. And sometimes we've done crazy songs, sometimes we've done weird raps. But praising God comes from a heart that says, God, I love you, and you are amazing, and you are incredible. And your love for me isn't going to change, even though yesterday might not have been good, even though tomorrow something bad is coming that I don't really want to have to do. But His love for you is never going to fail. His faithfulness will endure forever. Okay, thank you. You can sit down. All right, so we've got, when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're at home, when you're at church, what do we look at? Who's got the broom? Where's the broom? All right, you've got the broom. All right, you can stand up. Thank you. You can praise God. There you go. When you're cleaning. While cleaning. And, you know, you might be like, I don't really like doing this. This is annoying. Why do I have to clean up this kitchen? thank you. For the rest of the morning, she's going to pantomime everything that I say. All right. But yeah, it's like God is still worthy of praise, even if you're doing something you don't really want to do. Because He is still good to you, and His faithfulness is still good. And frankly, the fact that you have a place that you have to keep clean is better than a significant portion of this world. All right, thank you. You can sit down. So while cleaning, or on the other end of that, who's got the fishing rod? Go ahead and stand up with the fishing rod. While relaxing. Because fishing is relaxing, I've heard. that's what people do. Don't lose. Oh, I got to save the dust. No. But you can praise God when you're relaxing and just thank Him that you have a chance to rest and that His faithfulness is not going to change, that His love for you is consistent. And so you can relax praising God. Because we should. All right, you can have a seat. Thank you. So, when you're cleaning while relaxing, who's got the car keys? Where's the car keys? Make sure. Those are to my truck, okay? So I need to get them back. But you can praise God when you're on the go. When you're driving, you can worship God. You can praise Him. Why? Because even if you're going somewhere that you don't want to go, He is with you. He is faithful to you. His love for you is never ending. Even if you've got a long trip ahead of you, He is with you on that trip. So you can praise God when you're on the go. Thank you. You can have a seat. All right, who's got the jumper cables? All right, stand up. So on the flip side, you can praise God when your car won't go. And a lot of times we're like, oh yeah, I'll praise God when things are good. But you know what? If your car doesn't go, if you've got a flat tire, if you don't pass inspection, if your battery's dead, God is still good. God is still in love with you. God is still faithful to you. And so you can praise Him even in that situation. It doesn't make sense, but it doesn't change who God is. That God loves you even if you can't get your car started. And who knows what God is doing through that? Because you probably don't. But God might have a plan. I remember years ago, at one point, it was a stupid little thing. Thank you, you can have a seat. It was a stupid little thing that when I was in a parking lot, and I couldn't get my seatbelt. It was caught. And I was just so ticked off. Like, I just want to go. And I couldn't get my seatbelt. I finally got it unwrapped it and got it plugged in. And then as I got to the intersection, you look to the right, and it was just sun. The sun was setting, and all I could see was the sun. And as I'm pulling up to the intersection, a huge dump truck came flying down the road way faster than the speed limit. And I thought, you know, and this might not be the case, but if it wasn't for that annoying seatbelt, I probably would have been at that intersection where I couldn't have seen the big dump truck flying too fast down the road. And so maybe something that's frustrating might be God going, you know what, I'm working something and you can't see it. Why? Because God's love never ends. God's faithfulness endures forever. All right, so when you're on the go, when your car won't go, or how about, where's the toilet paper? When you gotta go. Like, seriously, like, you can praise God while you're using the bathroom. And I remember, it was my mother-in-law sharing that when having preschool kids and you have little kids around the house, sometimes the most meaningful moments of worship are when you're on the toilet, and that she would keep her Bible there. And I know this is weird, but like, why? Because there aren't any kids in there with you. And so even something like that is an opportunity to worship. Because God is good. God's love for you never ends. His faithfulness endures forever. So when you're on the go, when your car won't go, when you've got to go. Okay, let's see. Next slide here. Who's got the heart? Whoa. Oh, all right. Sorry, you're good. I'm not. There we go. Okay, who's got the apron? All right, go ahead. You've got the apron and the chef's hat. So you can praise God when you're making dinner. And sometimes it's frustrating making dinner. Sometimes you don't have time to make dinner and you got to buy something. Sometimes you get stuck in an annoying line buying dinner somewhere for food that you don't want, that's overpriced, that you're going to lose a little bit later because it's not good for you anyway. But we can still praise God. Because His love for us is good. And the fact that we have the opportunity to eat says, God, thank You for Your grace. I don't deserve this, and You provide food for me every day. You care for my needs every day. And so we can praise God while we're making dinner. Thank you. You can have a seat. Who's got the the dish gloves. So you can praise God when you're on the opposite end of that. After having dinner, you're doing dishes. You can praise God when doing dishes or cleaning up after dinner. And those are moments, too. And honestly, how many times we sit there, you have a job to do, whether it's loading the dishwasher, whether you're washing your pans, whether you're, you know, clearing the table and throwing things in the trash, whatever that looks like, it's an opportunity to say, God, thank You that I have something to eat. Thank You for loving me so much. And many times, depending on how good you are at your job, maybe you should be better at this sometimes. Like, if you wash all the pots and pans in about 12 seconds, they're probably not clean. But you might have an opportunity to just worship God. And just you, it's you and Dawn and the pots. And I don't mean that Dawn. And I don't mean the other kind of pot. That is true. That Dawn would really... So you can get in touch with... But the dish detergent... But it's just an opportunity. Hey, you know what? There's nothing here. It's time. Why don't I worship God? Why don't I praise God in this moment? Thank you. All right. Who's got the softball mitt? Where's the softball mitt? All right. So you can praise God when you're winning. Because when you're on the field, when you're on the court, when you're on the pitch, is that what people say over on the other side? Huh? On the pitch? No, I'm saying the court, field, any. I'm enlisting, but that's what it's called, right? Yeah, it's called the pitch, the mound. Well, not the pitcher's mound. I'm representing all sports here, okay? Whether you're in the pool, whether you're... all right, sport. Whenever you're sportsing, as people in my family say, whenever you're sportsing, when you're winning, we're like, yeah, God, thank you. This is great. And you can praise God when you're winning. And you should be praising God because His love for you never changes. And His faithfulness endures forever. Now, who's got the hat on backwards? All right, stand up. Why is the hat on backwards? What do they call that? The rally cap. Yep. And a rally cap means what? You're losing. You always flip the cap around because gets everybody fired up. Yeah. And now I can't catch anything. But we can praise God when we're losing. And a lot of times we're like, yeah, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to say, yeah, God, you're great because things are going well. But when things aren't going well, we can still praise God. Why? Because even if you're losing, and whatever that loss is, maybe that is an actual baseball game. Maybe that is in something more meaningful, more like deep in life. Even in the midst of that loss, God is still faithful. And God still loves you. And He doesn't stop loving you. Thank you. You can have a seat. All right. Who's got the headband and the wristbands? All right, you got to show the headband off. You got to show it off. There we go. Headband and wristband. When you're working out, yeah, you can praise God. And a lot of times, how many of you? That's all right. You can sit down. When you're doing something like that, you have a lot of time just by yourself. A lot of time to praise God. And so you're getting all sweaty and you're getting all nasty. Who's got the loofah? You've got the scrubby thing. All right. What do you need to do when you're done working out? You need to be washing up. And you can be praising God when you're in the shower, when you're in the bathtub. Like, God, this works for all. Why? Because even there, God's love for you never ends. Even there, His faithfulness endures forever. And God is so good. And again, looking at these normal, everyday Swiss Army knife kind of moments, Swiss Army Psalm kind of moments, I've got this psalm, and I can worship God right now. When normally you're not thinking about worship, but you're probably by yourself, and you're probably in a spot where you've got nothing else to do, why don't we worship God? All right, thank. Oh, you already said. Thank you. Let's see. Who's got the rake? Where's the rake? All right. So the rake. You can praise God when you're doing yard work. And, sometimes you're like, wow, this is really annoying. Why do those weeds keep growing, but the grass doesn't? Why is it that I have this, amazing skill with growing poison, but I can't grow a garden? Like, whatever those things are, we can praise God and say, you know what, God? But it doesn't matter, because your love for me doesn't end. Because you're faithful to me, no matter what happens. And those weeds, frankly, are a reminder of how broken this world is. And how one day it's going to be restored. And then, all right, so when you're doing lawn work, and then on the other end of the spectrum, you want to stand up with your shovel. I hate to bring this up, guys. I really do. But when you're shoveling snow, and I know it's probably going to happen here, where summer's leaving us. We're not friends anymore. All right, so I'll go with the handheld. I'll see if I can pull it off. So pull me back there. Okay. Even when you're shoveling snow, it's an opportunity to praise God. And for me, I know that there's time there where it's like there's nothing else going on. And I will often pop in some headphones, some earbuds, and listen to some worship songs and praise God while I'm shoveling snow. Because God is always loving. God's faithfulness endures forever. All right, what do we have next? You can sit down. Pool noodle. Who's got the pool noodle? Where's the pool noodle? All right, yeah, you can stand up. So you can praise God when you're swimming. How many of you like to swim? Raise your hand. You guys like to swim? All right. Now, let me just take a quick poll. You have one vote. Actually, no, you have three. No, you have one vote. Three options. One vote, three options. Option one would be swimming pool. Option two would be beach. Option three is lake, Okay, so you have to vote for one of those three, just out of curiosity. How many of you prefer a swimming pool? Raise your hand. All right, got some swimming pool people. All right, how many prefer the beach? Okay, all right, got a lot of beach people. And how many prefer to swim in a lake? All right, good. You probably have some sort of bacteria right now, but that's okay. That's okay. I used to have 10 fingers, but that shark. Anyway, but swimming. When you're swimming, it's a great, like, God is good when you're swimming. And you can have a seat there. Who's got the umbrella? There. And sometimes you were planning to go swimming, and it's raining. And it's not what you wanted, and the day didn't turn out the way you had hoped. And we can still praise God when it's raining. We can still praise God because He is still good to us. And His love for us doesn't change whether we got to do what we wanted to do that day or not. And whether the rain ruined our plans, but you know what? Somewhere some farmer is like, thank you, Jesus, for this rain. All right, you can have a seat. And then who's got the hammer? All right, careful there. All right, yeah, put that hammer down, yeah. So when you're doing a project, when you do a project, you know, maybe you're around your house and you've got a project that you need to do. Maybe it's a project for work or something like that. But when you're working on something, God can be praised. Because His love for us doesn't change, and He is faithful forever, and so we can worship Him. And maybe you're like, why do I have to fix this stupid toilet? You know what? You got indoor plumbing, so you're kind of up on a whole lot of people around the world already, and we can praise God for that. And maybe you're not so good at that. Who has the blood pressure monitor? All right, Marley, go ahead and stand up there. Maybe you can praise God when you do a project or when you need a doctor. Because you didn't do the project quite as safe as you should have, or even in the midst of a hard time. You get that call. You get that test result. And it's not what you expect. It's not good. But we can still praise God. Because His love doesn't change, whether that test result was that way or not. And the moment before you knew about the test result, God was in control. And the moment after you knew about that test result, God is still in control. Thank you. And then what do we have here? Who's got the grocery bags? You have the grocery bags there? You want to stand up for me? So you can praise God while shopping. Whatever that looks like, whether that's grocery shopping, whether that's in the stores, whatever. You know, if people go to stores anymore. Yeah, careful. All right. But we can praise God while shopping because He is good. And even if things don't add up financially the way you had hoped, like, wow, it's a little bit tight right now. God is still good. God is still faithful. He still loves not just people, but He loves you. And so we can praise God when we're shopping. And then who has the pillow? There we go. And you got a blanket, that, you know, a big old blanket hoodie thing. That works well too. Poncho, sorry. Yes, it is a poncho. It looks comfy. Is it comfy? Yeah, I thought so. And you can praise God when sleeping. And I don't mean when you're actually sleeping. But like when you're in bed, when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, it's an opportunity to say, God, thank you for being so good. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being faithful to me, no matter what. So this is a psalm of versatility. And there's probably more situations that we didn't talk about here. Oh, we didn't talk about walking the dog. How many of you have a pet? All right. When caring for your pet, you can praise God. And because God's love is always good. So this is a psalm of versatility. It fits in all situations. And there might be situations that we didn't cover here. There probably are. But that this psalm still applies. And so I want us to say it one more time. It'll be on the screen here together with me. Psalm 117 says this. Everybody, you can look right here if you can see it too. Praise the Lord.
All you nations.
Praise. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can praise you no matter where we find ourselves, in every situation, even if it doesn't feel good, even if it seems difficult, even if it's challenging, you still love us. And even if we screw up, even if we're the reason we're in this hole, even if we're the reason we're losing right now, your love doesn't change. And your faithfulness endures forever. Help us to remember that. Help us to apply this psalm wherever we find ourselves, and even the moment we leave this building, to honor you, to worship you, to tell everyone how great you are, to hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.